Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. You will hear, amongst other things, Mark Crossley, the former Forest keeper, who is back in the world of greyhounds, as he explained. We were joined by Bob Bubka because John Rahm has now told us what they're all going to be eating at the Masters dinner of the next Masters next month. And very Spanish theme. Bob Bubka joined us to talk us through some of the previous
He told us a good anecdote, but you'll hear he got it slightly wrong.
Yeah, he did. Hence the title of today's podcast. So we had that. We had a bit of a chat. We had Mastermind, didn't we? Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. I've done a bit of a Brian Johnson test match special today.
I wonder what that was. You came in with a great big parcel in silver paper. But what's this?
I know. I went to one of my wife's clients, old hairdressing clients, invited us over for tea.
Yeah.
This woman makes the most fantastic cherry cake.
Does she really?
She makes them for the church. They're very popular.
Wow.
And she knew I was coming. She knew I liked it. So she made them. She gave us basically half a cake. I'm never going
to
eat half
of it. Wow. To try a bit of that. The team next door, I can see a few of them dribbling next door. A lot of interest in the gallery there. So that's nice. Bit of cherry cake. Thank you, Andy. We'll have that with a cup of tea later.
The church does have a sporting connection, though.
Does it really?
The vicar is married to...
Pele. I can't be, can it? Sorry, Pele, if you're listening. Two different stories. Of course not. No, carry on.
He's married to Peter Oborne, the cricket journalist and political journalist.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so there you go. That? Bit of a sporting connection there. Thank you very much.
I watched... this is a direct quote from my wife. This is the most boring programme of all time. And, of course, it is. Match officials mic'd up.
Oh, for goodness sake. I can't be bothered with it.
When they were really getting into the weeds of the disallowed Suchek-Bowen goal at the weekend, she keeps looking at the screen and laughing, thinking, how... boring can a TV... She's not interested in the intricacies of VAR.
No, well...
There is something about it. I'm kind of drawn to it. One observation. I've noticed that Howard Webb and Michael Owen wear the same clothes for every edition.
Really?
Do you know, like sometimes when somebody makes a documentary or makes a series... when they've got to kind of cut it up and it...
You
may,
a bit like Taskmaster.
You have to wear the same clothes all the time. Yeah. But I've got no reason why every month Howard and Michael have to wear exactly the same clothes.
They're not going to edit it, are they?
The other thing was, they went through that whole 5 minutes, 37 seconds. And Michael Owen has got better at saying, Howard, come on. And he said, yeah, I'm sure if the boys look back at it, they'll say they could have saved a bit of time. A bit. There is no real sense of urgency. Yeah. As they're going through that whole decision-making process, at no point do you sense anyone saying, do you know, it's been 5 minutes.
You know why? Because they don't want to sound panicky. Well, so if they seem to be urgent, people say, oh, they're panicking.
Well, there is sometimes an air of panic. At one point, someone says, we are, because the referee was Jared Gillette, and they're saying, Jared, we're looking for a potential offside. And one of the assistant VI says, well, I don't think we are because there's two people on the goal line from the opposition. Oh, OK, no, we've got handball.
It's a disaster.
But, you know, really, if Howard was at the New York Stadium, if he was there watching his beloved Rotherham and he was just standing in the stadium for over five and a half minutes, not knowing what was going on, how would he feel about that?
Yeah, he wouldn't be happy about it, but he does want, to be fair to him, he does want...
I know he does. He wants it to be quicker, and he is working at it. So they always put in an obvious one. There was one which was the handball, I think, was it in the Brentford game, where it's the ball comes off the head onto the hand, and you think, well, yeah, we all know that's not a penalty, and it's never a penalty in a million years. So they always sling in a couple of obvious ones, and maybe not one or two that you'd really like to see.
I was watching the women's second half of the women's game with Chelsea Ajax last night,
yeah.
And the automated offside is so much better. It's so much clearer. It just is better. But the Varlas WSL, Chelsea would have been 4-0 up, two goals disallowed. So I don't know if it's a good thing or not, but it's coming anyway, so what are you going to do? There's been a lot of controversy about these photos of Princess Kate,
yes,
on the weekend. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think it was. I don't know why. It's definitely her.
Yeah.
What possessed Sonia McLaughlin, the Biebs rugby specialist, rugby reporter, to tweet, it's so obviously not Kate. Some newspapers are wrong. Why would you put yourself on offer like that? I don't get it.
Okay.
She thought it was a conspiracy.
I didn't see
well,
that.
Not a conspiracy. Okay. No, well, conspiracy. Yeah. She said, no conspiracy theorists, but all very odd.
Yes.
Not odd at all, really.
Indeed.
Although Arthur Edwards, who loves the royal family, even loves the farm shop that they were in.
It's been good for them, isn't it, the farm shop? I imagine a lot of people are hanging around it there now on the boat.
Hoping.
Because they might come back.
Yeah, but I know the shop and it's close to their home and sells wonderful produce. Of course it does, if they go there.
I think it's the place where Charlie does a comedy night. So maybe William went there to try it for that and do a little sort of 5-minute spot there, open slot. I got no idea, at a farm shop somewhere in that part of the world.
Brilliant.
Anyway, what else we got? A couple of things to get going on. Andreas Pereira of Fulham went for a meal after their fine victory against Spurs and happened upon Gary Lineker and his sons having a meal after the Chelsea-Leicester game.
Oh, right. No,
it couldn't have been the Chelsea Leicester. That would have been the Sunday, wouldn't it? Anyway, that's what
it
said.
Maybe you went for a meal on Sunday.
Yeah, maybe went for a meal on Sunday. Yeah, maybe that's what it was. The timeline's not working, but this is how I read it in the papers today.
Okay.
That's right. He was having a meal with some of his sons after seeing Leicester lose 4-2 at Chelsea in the FA Cup quarter-final. And Pereira said, when I saw him, I went to his table to say hello, because I know he's a big legend. Mm. Well, he is. He just told me to keep going. I was having a good season and I was a good footballer, which is a big compliment coming from him. But it's always that awkward thing. If you see someone famous out and about, they're in the street, you don't feel so bad. But if they've got a mouthful of meat pie or something, or they've got a little bit of gravy,
you don't want to go up to them. It's a bit of a cheat.
But it is one of those things, isn't it? I suppose it's, you know, it's football on football. He would have
recognised. He's one famous person with another famous person. But I suppose that's fair enough.
That the restaurant encounter is a tricky thing to navigate, I'd say, with a celebrity. So if you've done that, if you've tried that, and how did it go down? Did you catch the celeb mid anecdote, or with a little bit of gravy running down their chin?
I have no sympathy for Gary and his sons, though, because I had to sit next to his sons for the Chelsea-Leicester Cup final when Leicester won.
Right.
And they were really gloating about it. Well, Leicester fans would do.
Leicester were beating Chelsea. You've got to cut them some slack.
No, it was annoying.
You're such an understanding bloke.
Oh, I am. Yeah,
such
tremendous.
An understanding bloke.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
What have we got here? I saw TalkSport's Ray Party Parlour in a restaurant in the Algarve. I went over to say hi and how much I enjoyed his banter with Alan Brazil. Well, he thanked me, and I must add that Ray was very friendly. Well, he's a very friendly man.
That's
very
like a letter to a tabloid.
He's a very friendly man. In fact, he was doing his predictions of the forthcoming weekend's football matches. So when I shared that I was a Chelsea fan, our conversation soon entered the old It's Only Ray Parlour moment. Tim Lovejoy in the cup final.
Oh, yeah.
Had a picture taken with him, an all top fella. And that comes from Ray. In essence, no, it doesn't. It comes from Chris.
No, Ray's a good man.
He is a good man. Yeah, he wouldn't knock anybody back like that. So encountering the celebrities in a restaurant environment can be a bit tricky to navigate. As we said, Andreas Pereira of Fulham caught up with Gary Lineker while he was mid-meal.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
And it's been a big week for Forest. We were on air when the news broke on Monday of their 4-point deduction. They've got 7 days to appeal. I think they're weighing that up. And I've read various things about the fact they probably have nothing to lose, but probably haven't got a particularly great chance of getting it reduced. So let's speak to someone who proudly played for the club. We'll also talk about another club he had an involvement with and the world of greyhounds. It is their former keeper, Mark Crossley. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon.
Yeah,
I'm confused before we even start talking, guys.
Are you really?
Why is that?
Just with all these points and this final.
No.
Oh, dearie, dearie me.
It is an absolute minefield. As I said, I was reading some stuff around, looking at what the club have said, Norm. It looks like they are going to appeal because they haven't really got anything to lose. But you'd be surprised if it was reduced. I mean, it was reduced for Everton, but that was from 10 to 6. The idea of it getting lower than 4, but say, what have they got to lose? But not an ideal situation for the club, is it? Especially as we read the day, you know, they may have to sell one of their big players in the summer to not be here again.
They won't be the only club having to do that.
No, that's very true.
A lot of clubs.
How have you viewed it all as an ex-player?
Very messy. How do we even get to this situation anyway? I don't get it. But really, stickly, that's where we're at. If you appeal it, then does it go to after the season when a decision's made? So how do Luton look at that? How do the other teams around look at that? It's just a complete mess. How do the players look at it?
Yeah.
How do people who work at the club look at it? If they get relegated, do we lose our jobs? And it's just affects so many people on the scale. But I would imagine there will be an appeal. Once you go somewhere with an attitude that, what have we got to lose? That usually tells you what will probably happen.
One of our listeners has said that you were part of the Oldham team that gave him the best day of his life ever back in 2008. That win at Everton, he says.
Yes, that was.
Doesn't leave his name for some reason, which is a shame.
Oh, he does, Mike in Oldham.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, Mike in Oldham. He's put it at the bottom there.
Yeah. 1-0 win in the FA Cup, I think it was. And if I remember rightly, it was a 1-0 clean sheet for the big fella. Yet again, you know.
That'd be good.
Now, away from the football, the other reason we wanted to have a chat is I follow you on social media, and this popped up. You pictured with a greyhound. I didn't know that you'd obviously been an owner before, and you're an owner again. So how did that all come about?
Well, the trainer, when I played for Middlesbrough, I got involved in a couple of syndicates and had two Derby semi-finalists.
Wow.
And that gave me such a buzz, almost as much as what winning a game of football did. And then I had an unbelievable dog called Ted's Joe, and it was probably the best dog that I ever owned. And it was in a big competition, in a final, the Jim Cracker All Green, I think it was back then, and come round the last bend, six lengths clear, and snapped its hock.
Oh.
And it put me off. It completely put me off.
Mm.
But when the same trainer rings you back and said, I found the new Ted's Joe, then you've got to get involved again, aren't you? So I've had a small share in another syndicate, and I'm looking forward to getting back interested.
You said you haven't got a name yet. So how do you go about it? Will it be a sort of syndicate decision? Have you got one yet?
Yeah, we have. It's called Popstar Joe.
Okay.
So Joe, because obviously the connection with Ted's Joe and the pop star is probably something to do with. There's probably some karaoke singers involved as a syndicate as well. So, Popstar Joe, and he's done some really good trial time, so quite hopeful.
So when will he be running for the first time? Do you know?
We're just undecided whether he'll be entered in the Jim Crack at Sheffield, which starts, I think, round about his first week in April. So we've just got to decide. It'll have another trial on Sunday at Sheffield, and then a decision will be made whether it's entered for that competition.
And I'm guessing cheaper than having a part of a horse in terms of racing. Yeah, a whole lot cheaper.
Not cheap.
I think you're talking minimal amounts of money, especially in a syndicate. So the enjoyment's there. Costs a lot of petrol money with these open race dogs, though, travelling around the country, you know, so I'll have to get a petrol card.
Well, we'll look out for him, Norm. Popstar Joe.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
What else we got here? I was in the Ivy once, sat quite near Carl Pilkington and Ricky Gervais. They were having sushi starters and Carl was frantically drinking water whilst Ricky was laughing uncontrollably. Turns out Carl had eaten the whole dollop of wasabi because, in his words, he thought it was one mushy pea. Nobody bothered them, says Lloyd in Paignton, who was eavesdropping. We're asking this because, Andreas Pereira met Gary Lineker and his lads in a restaurant the other day. So sometimes it's quite difficult to navigate the famous person in the restaurant. You don't want to be a pain when halfway through their dinner.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We did ask you about your restaurant encounters with the stars, and so they can be a bit tricky at times as people have got a mouthful of food when you pop over for the selfie or the autograph. Brian, who is a Rangers and Manchester United fan.
Well, he'll be happy,
won't he? We've got some good news for him in the next hour, with Wes Brown and Lee McCulloch. Good afternoon, Brian.
How you doing, mate, boys? Are you fine?
Yeah, we're good, thank you. So what about your chance encounter in a restaurant? Who was this?
Well, it was a the year was 1990. It was the build-up to the World Cup in Italy. Mm. And my mum and dad and my brother and me were having lunch in a restaurant in Inverness. And who walks in but Dennis Law?
All right.
So, of course, my dad being a big football fan, he went to like Wales playoff games in Cardiff and Anfield and England in 77. So this was like the biggest thing for him. He couldn't believe it. And then my mum was from Aberdeen, and her best mate actually lived next door to Dennis's mum when he used to visit when the Bentley came up to Aberdeen, and everybody knew he was in town.
Wow.
So it was a big thing, yeah. And of course, my mum and dad were just sort of swooning over him and making all this thing. And they turned around to me and says, "Oh, do you know who this is?" And of course, I blurted out the 12-year-old word, "No, he's the guy from the Mars Bar adverts for the World Cup." I really didn't have a clue who he was. No, the only reason I recognised him was because the TV adverts in the Italy 90 World Cup sort of build up. So my moment to meet Dennis Law was, I've regretted it ever since, to be quite honest.
Oh, he wouldn't have minded. Very distinctive hair, Dennis.
Young hair.
Couldn't miss him. He always had young hair, didn't he?
Yep.
An FA tribute to him I went to years and years ago, and he got up and did it. And he's really dry sense of humour.
He's always a funny bloke.
Really funny speech he did. Mm. Yeah, he was great value. So.
His parting shot to me was he just looked at my mum and dad, went "kids," and just shrugged his shoulders.
Nice one, Brian. Thanks for the call. All the best. Take care.
Cheers, mate. Cheers, guys.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
That's an interesting story about Verstappen that Alex brought us there.
Yeah.
Why would he join Mercedes? Is he bored with winning?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, the obvious answer is money, but, he's very, very well paid, and it does seem quite surprising.
It's because all this stuff that's been going on in the background at Red Bull, isn't it? I think it's caused a bit of upset and maybe a bit of parental pressure being brought to bear. I don't know.
Anyway. I was reminded of one of your well-known school football anecdotes when Declan Rice was talking to a podcast, the Peter Crouch podcast, that gets lifted. Without Peter Crouch's podcast, I don't think there'd be any newspapers.
I don't think there would.
Every story ends up in the papers.
It's every quirky news story, they tend to get picked up there.
But he's insisted a suspicious brown mark, which appeared on his shorts, was mud.
Hmm.
Fans were convinced the Arsenal midfielder suffered a accident during last Tuesday's Champions League game, but Rice has tried to clean up the mess. So I get the idea of what you did there.
Yes, you don't want me to tell it again, do you?
Well, it's a good story.
Well, it's brief. I'll make it brief, but a lad I played football with at school, I saw years and years later in the street with his missus and a little baby, and we started to reminisce about the school days, because this particular player, we wore an all-white kit. I don't know if we were in Europe or something.
Real Madrid.
And he said, "Sir, I don't think I can play. I've got a bellyache." And he said, "No, you're playing." School was very different then.
It was.
Very different regime.
Yeah.
It wasn't particularly, what's the word, holistic, the way that the sports teachers were then. "You're playing," they said. So he went out there and in the Gary Lineker envelope had a bit of an accident. And we only knew when the bloke who he was playing at fullback, I think, and the bloke who was playing on the wing went, "Ugh!" That was the noise he made. And then this lad, I'm not gonna say his name, was taken off the field. And as I was saying, when I saw him with his missus and his baby years later, we started to reminisce about playing at school, and I just saw this look in his eyes. Don't bring that up.
Don't mention that. It's embarrassing for a young man, really.
I didn't, yeah. But of course, you know, school kids being school kids, the following day, and indeed ever again, nothing more was mentioned. If you believe that, yeah.
There you go. Mm. I do love when we get a major event, a World Cup or the Olympics, there's certain stories appear in that year that always happen. And this one appeared in the Star today. Mm. This summer's Olympics are set to be the randiest ever, with 300,000 condoms.
Yeah, that's always, a condom count, isn't there?
Ridiculous,
really.
That's
right.
It's enough for, 21 each, apparently.
Oh, okay.
Just, you know.
Who's Sam worked that out? They got the work experience at the Sun or the Star to do that, I would guess. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, talking of the Olympics, the other day, there's some stories in Brisbane that they want to pull out of the 2032 Olympics. They're denying it, the organising committee, but Channel 9, the network there, are hearing that they don't want to do it.
I'm hearing.
Yeah, but that's pretty bad after what happened with the Commonwealth Games.
It's a difficult one. I mean, apparently I read on the weekend on Sunday about Paris and the French, they're not happy about the Olympics. They're really dissing their own Olympics. But once it happens...
It was a bit like the World Cup. They weren't interested in the World Cup till they got to the semi-final, were they?
It's brilliant for the city. I mean, it boosts the city, I think.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, the Masters almost upon us, 11th of April. And in the build-up to that, the defending champion who gets the honour of setting the Masters Champions dinner menu has been doing his thing. It's John Rahm, of course. And he's often the case. It's very much of the area where the player comes from. Very Spanish theme. Let me talk you through some of the best of it. It's a lovely tapas to kick off for everybody.
Fair enough, yeah.
Iberian ham will feature. Spicy Basque chorizo. Tortilla. Spanish omelette. You can have a bit of that.
It's a bit of an odd meal, though. It's like bits.
Creamy chicken. Well, it's tapas, mate. Clues in the name.
Oh, I see.
And then, then you've got.
I thought it was tapas to start with, and then
on we go. Then we have the Basque crab salad. That's the first course. Yeah. Then you can have a choice of Basque ribeye with the Tudela lettuce and the piquillo peppers.
So they've got to fly this ribeye from Basque region.
Right. They've got the money. It's the Masters. Got money coming out of their ears.
They don't have beef in America.
You can have turbot with the Navarra white asparagus. And then for dessert, if you've got room, which I doubt if you have, you can have the puff pastry. You don't have that. Have the puff pastry cake.
That would be very nice.
It wouldn't be. Anyway, I'm sure he's mouth-watering now. It is. The legend is Bob Bubka joins us, the veteran from many a Masters. Good afternoon, Bob.
Well, the old gang back together again.
Yeah. Yes.
Good to talk to you. And all getting hungry after that, Bob. I mean...
Yeah, but a big change because... Janice Self, the executive producer, says, "You're going to be on with Hawksby and Jacobs." I said, "Oh, no, I'm having a bad hair day. I never have to worry about that."
And now you look lovely in your background.
Yeah, you've got a lovely Masters backdrop there as well,
the
Bob.
Jacket,
we can
the famous
see.
Green jacket.
And, yeah, it's beautiful.
I've been practicing. I'm hoping to get down there sometime. the Masters dinner, a very special occasion. Quite frankly, what they eat is... nowhere near compares to the opportunity they have to talk to one another, to talk to the old champions. I mean, it's a thrill for the young guys. It's a thrill for the old guys. It's one of the best things the Masters does each and every year. And speaking of Rahm salad there, you said Tutela? Lettuce.
Yes.
Have you ever had that, guys?
I've never had the Tutela lettuce, and I don't think I've had the piquillo peppers, but I'm certainly up for it. It does sound very nice. I mean, I understand it started in 1952. Bob, I think it was it Ben Hogan or did the first one, and then from that point it became the tradition.
I wonder whose idea it was rather.
Well, Ben, I think, said he wanted to have some of his former winners. For dinner before the next Masters started, because he now was a former champion. So I think that's really the original start of it.
Yeah.
Now, one quick thing, guys. You're talking about restaurant sightings.
Yes.
Yeah. I have one in reverse. We were in St. Andrews covering the Open Championship. Harry Gray was having dinner with us. He was working with us. And I saw a crowd gathering outside the restaurant. So I go out there and I said, "What's going on?" They said, "Is that Harry Gray inside?" I said, "Sure is. You want to come meet him?" So I brought 20 people, and Harry was not too happy.
Oh, really?
Who is Harry Gray?
Andy Gray.
Andy Gray. Oh, okay. I was thinking.
Who's Harry Gray?
I don't think I would have spotted. Harry Gray.
That's right. Is it only champions, Bob, that are invited to this dinner?
Well, the chairman of the board down at Augusta, Fred Ridley. He's invited. That's the only other ones. There's no media allowed. And the guys really, really enjoy it. I mean, it's, be like you two guys getting together with 18 other 20 Hall of Famers.
Oh, yeah.
The Hall of Famers.
It'd be a great way to sort of stymie the opposition, wouldn't it? I mean, when Danny Willett did like roast beef and Yorkshire pudding, if you're not used to eating that sort of stodge, you've got to go out and play golf. That will weigh you down a little bit. We'll be sitting a bit heavy. So it is a fantastic way to stick it to the opposition. But Nick Faldo went fish and chips and tomato soup. Back in the day in 1997. Vijay Singh's looked very nice. Chicken Penang curry, baked sea scallop with garlic sauce, rack of lamb, look at chili and sea bass.
It's a lot of food. All of these menus are a huge amount of grub.
That's right. And I just wondered if you and the journalists would sort of, like those kids pressed against the cake shop window, when they're all finished, like all you scavenger journalists can all rush in there and finish what they don't have, Bob.
Well, we're there Wednesday morning when they go to throw away most of those dinners. All the media's outside ready to pick it up and have a feast.
Going through the bins. I've also found a picture of the master sandwiches. You always tell us about the pimento cheese sandwich for $1.50. I didn't realise.
Must have gone up now.
Well, we'll find out. They do the master's club, which is only $2.50.
Well,
the
cheap
turkey and cheese on wheat, $2.50. Classic chicken sandwich on $3. The grilled chicken wrap, $3. Ham and cheese on rye, $2.50. The egg salad, $1.50. So kind of good.
It's got to be the cheapest sandwich in America.
Good,
isn't it?
Good value, Bob. You've always told us that, but now I can see it here in writ large.
Yeah, no, it's a master's tradition. They don't charge a lot of money for those sandwiches, and you know, interesting to note, guys, the maturity of Tiger Woods. You know, he wins in. What did he win? 1997 for the first time. Mm. What does he serve? He serves hamburgers, cheeseburgers, French fries, and milkshakes.
Yes.
He wins a few years later, actually 5 years later, 2002, and he serves sushi.
Mm.
And so he went from hamburgers to sushi in just a matter of a few years. His tastes really have changed.
I'm guessing both sides of his heritage, Bob, just a sign of that. So just finally, onto the golf. It's hard to believe it's been 10 years since Rory last won a major, but I'm looking at the betting, and he's right up there with John Rahm and Brooks Koepka and Scottie Scheffler and others. Good to see Jordan Spieth right up there as well after everything he's been through. So who do you fancy, Bob, at this stage? I know it's a few weeks off, but who do you fancy?
You know, up until a week ago, I really, really thought Rory McIlroy was on the right track. And he's playing more golf. He's going to play this week. He's going to play next week in San Antonio, which he hasn't done. And then he's going right to the Masters. But what I'm finding out and listening to him after his rounds, which haven't been that great, he's focusing too much on the Masters. You know, you got to let it come to you.
Yeah.
You know, you don't go planning on winning the Masters weeks from now. I mean, it just doesn't work that way. You know, you get prepared. You don't have to overly prepare. He knows that golf course. But what you said, Paul, is absolutely astonishing. 10 years?
Yeah.
Rory McIlroy without a major? You got to be 40 majors.
Mm. I know. It's that, isn't it? I mean, it is that 2014 PGA Championship. And that will play on his mind. And you're right, but that desperation, that's never a good way of going to a tournament, desperate to put that right. I mean, it's going to play on his mind if he makes a bad start. Well, let's hope he can over. I'm sure he'll be working with a sports psychologist.
Yeah, he often has a good first three rounds, and then it's goes a bit horribly.
Look,
wrong.
Bob, we will catch up with you in the build up to the Masters, and no doubt chat to you during it. But for now, I will let you come. We're all so hungry. I think we're all going to go straight to the fridge after this chat. So we'll catch up with you soon, Bob.
Yeah, I got to go comb my hair. Thanks, guys.
Cheers, Bob. There's Bob Bubka there. Yeah, we will be catching up with him, Rupert, and the team around the Masters.
We're both so polite, really. When Bob said Harry Gray, we both...
Well,
yeah,
I'm just thinking,
Gray,
because Bob knows everybody in golf, Harry Gray could have been like... He could have won the US PGA in 1954. I'm thinking Harry Gray. It doesn't ring any bells. I was getting the hickory clubs out.
Exactly.
Yeah, anyway, good old Bob. We will catch up with him. And yeah, if you go online, you can find all those Masters menus. But wow, there's some of the stuff over. It's been a lot of of burgers. There's so many American winners.
Yeah.
And, you know, those sorts of guys have often gone down the real American menu route. But more on the Masters ahead of the start on the Thursday, the 11th of April.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There's a new cricket tournament. I don't know if you saw this talking in Scotland. It's called the Scottish T10 tournament.
T10?
Alex Hales is playing. But applause for Barney Rona. He's called it the Ojai PL. Come on, that is good, isn't it?
That is very good.
Yeah, very funny.
T10. That would be T10. Fun.
I quite like T10. It's ridiculous, really. That's the minimum. You can't do T5. That would be ludicrous.
T1, who'd turn up?
One ball.
Yeah.
That's the way it's going. Gerard Piqué gets his way.
So here we go. Six, I never knew about this, Andy. August the 16th to 31st. Six franchises. Glasgow, Edinburgh, Aberdeen, Inverness, Perth and Dundee. 34 matches across 16 days. Women's competition as well.
That'll be fun.
So, it will be fun. It's going to be on the telly, I take it, isn't it? So, good stuff,
Okay, a bit of a Scottish feel as well to this first one of Clive Myrie's fabulous intros.
If you've not heard this before, this is Andy Jacobs' mastermind, Clive Myrie, the Manchester City supporting presenter. Andy often feels that he gives a bit too much information about the specialist subjects. They needn't be quite as fulsome as he makes them. But it's not Clive's fault. He's given a script.
I think he writes it.
I don't think he does. One day we'll pin him down and ask him. He just reads it out. Clive does. Clive comes in late, does his bit.
To be fair to Clive, he reads it out a lot better than I do.
Yes. So anyway, well, what about today's mastermind? What were the specialist subjects, Andy?
Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah. Not super bad, Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad.
Sorry.
Yes, the American television drama series starring Bryan Cranston as a terminally ill chemistry teacher who synthesizes illegal drugs to fund his cancer treatment.
Yes.
Not Breaking Baths in the swimming pool and leisure centre in
Breaking Baths. Yeah. About a documentary about Breaking Baths. That would be brilliant, wouldn't it?
I couldn't find any plumbers, so I had to do that.
That's a good idea.
The World Athletics Championships from 2011 to present day.
Yeah.
Yes. The prestigious... That's what he does.
I know.
The prestigious biannual track and field competition from its debut in 2011... to Budapest in 2023. You think, not school sports day then.
Not school sports day,
It's the World Athletics Championship. It doesn't need anything else but
all
that,
you
does
need.
It?
It's all
it
you really it. Need to say, isn't it?
And finally, The Life of Mary Shelley.
Oh, yeah.
The author whose early science fiction novel Frankenstein was published in 1818. Mm. And not Frank Stein of the Master Plumbers Association of Queensland.
Oh, okay. Fantastic. Well, there we are.
Tremendous.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yes.
Darren, the Spurs fan's keeping it light. He says, my wife was in the Royal Free Hospital in an induced coma. Keep it light. She's okay now. Darren says, she's okay now. Thank goodness for that, Darren. He's not just telling us that. This is Encountering the Stars in Restaurants, as Andreas Pereira of Fulham did with Gary Lineker the other day, and how you navigate it. I went to a nearby cafe for some breakfast. I sat down on the next table, and there was Bill Oddie and his wife, and they could see I was a bit upset.
Oh.
And I told them what was going on. They wished me good luck, had a chat, and when I went to pay my bill, Bill Oddie had picked it up for him.
What a nice thing to do.
What a goodie, says Darren. There we are.
The
Thank
great
you
ornithologist.
Much. That's right. Yes.
The great ornithologist. Bill Oddie.
You have two minutes on that.
Exactly.
That's right. What have we got?
That's a nice story.
Some of these I haven't read, so I suppose we better be careful. Anyway, we got one. Let's take a chance. Michael in Durham says, back in 1986, I was dining in a restaurant, Port of Spain, Trinidad. The next table were several members of the England cricket team who were playing the West Indies. As I left, I said, good luck, lads, to which they replied, thanks. The next day, they're absolutely blown away by Holding and Patterson. So your luck didn't make any difference.
Difference at all.
Yeah. You could have added, you're going to need it in that particular era.
That's true.
They wouldn't have blamed you. Anyway.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Harry Mayne's going to be fit.
Harry Mayne, he's the lion, the Sun's lion who goes to the... Who's in that suit? Who do you think it is?
It's a good question.
Well, I mean,
Ali Ross.
He is not.
No,
he couldn't
be
bring
Harry
himself.
Mayne, is
not
he?
A man who's definitely who follows not. The Tartan Army around Europe. He will not be in an England.
Could be Arthur Edwards.
I wouldn't think so. He's a man of a certain age. He can't be doing all that dancing about on the touch. And I wonder who's in that. Wonder who's in that suit. I know definitely who he isn't.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, if you peruse all the friendlies over the next few days, there's some interesting matchups. And one of them takes place this evening. And it is between San Marino, looking for their second win in 20 years, against the Caribbean island of St. Kitts and Nevis. So, I don't know how many people have travelled for the game outside the locale, but two people that have are the Watson brothers, Mark, comedian, Paul, author, and indeed one half of the Find a Sweeper podcast. And they join us now, live from San Marino. Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon. Hello. The first thing to say is that we're not the only ones. There's quite a number of other people we've already met that have made this unique football pilgrimage.
Wow. What makes it unique then, Paul?
Well, it's the longest winless run in international football history that San Marino are on. So you say it's 20 years since they beat Liechtenstein 1-0, and it's also 136 matches without a win. So tonight, playing against St. Kitts and Nevis, they're actually favourites, bookies' favourites, which
aren't
is... a rarity, I think, is fair to say.
Wow.
It's quite a I'm just looking at a picture of the ground. It's quite a stunning little ground, isn't it? With a sort of, there's no stand behind the goal. It just looks like trees.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place. I haven't been here before. Paul, of course, has. This is the sort of thing he gets up to.
But yes.
It's a gorgeous night for a game as well. So, yeah, there's a fair bit of anticipation here, but as I say, we've not met any actual San Marino-born fans yet, just people like us that have come over out of curiosity.
So really, so you've quite a lot of other Brits who've gone there just like a bit of a football pilgrimage?
Yeah, I think it'll be a fair amount of people from around the world who want to support underdogs. Actually, quite a few people who listen to the podcast, The Sweeper, the podcast that we do, have come almost as like a trip for fans of our podcast. Which is very nice. The interesting thing is they have a fan club here, the Brigata Maiuna Joia, which is the Never Any Joy Brigade. It's the official San Marino ultras, like, and they go to all the home games. But actually, they're all Italians and one German. So there really aren't many local fans here.
And it's not clear what they'll do if they do win one tonight. They're going to have to redefine their whole... They'll be struggling for San Marino identity.
Have you come across any St. Kitts fans? Anybody made the journey from the Caribbean?
That's a big ask, I think. Like on a midweek night, especially.
On a school night.
Is that all you bring away?
It'd
be a bit unfair.
Yeah, that's what
we're not worried about scenes of violence between the two sets of fans, put it that way.
It's the definition of it'll be a long way home if they lose, yeah. I think.
Andy's right. If you could master an Italian, is that all you bring away before kickoff to the solitary fans you find? That would be very good. So what time's... You're an hour on over there? What's the situation at the moment? We're sort of five to four here.
That's right. We're an hour ahead. There's actually a fan zone happening down there now. Apparently, there's face painting, so we're excited to see
that. That'd be nice. You've got to go for it, haven't you?
Got to go for it. Have a beer, get our faces painted. Kickoff here is 7:45 UK time, so it's obviously quite late kickoff here, 8:45. Yeah, excited to see if San Marino can finally make some history.
Well, if we go back with our faces painted in San Marino colours, we'll have a lot of explaining to do to people, I think.
Yeah, yeah, it's blue and white, which wouldn't be great from your point of view either, would it, I don't think.
Yeah, it's not a good move politically for Bristol.
That's for Bristol City fans, that's very true. Well, enjoy. How much did it cost to get in? How much was the ticket, boys?
€12.95.
Oh, very reasonable.
That's pretty good value. And it's not non-league rules. You can't have a beer within sight of the pitch. It's UEFA rules, I take it, is it?
Actually, I don't know. It's a very good question.
It is a good question.
I think you can. I think the last time I was there, because it's a friendly, it's just an international friendly. I'm not sure you have to abide by those rules. We're certainly going to try and see if we can avoid them.
We'll let you know, yeah.
Fantastic. Well, enjoy the game. Fantastic. We'll now keep an eye on that and we'll report back tomorrow and tell everybody the score. Because I doubt he's going to get a great deal of coverage on the 10 o'clock news. But
it's going to be mostly us covering it for the UK.
Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm. Enjoy the game. Thanks very much, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Here we are, Mark Watson and Paul Watson there.
Yeah, fun thing to do, actually.
Yeah, it would be a great little football pilgrimage, see if San Marino can make it 2 wins in 20 years. Imagine if that was your team, Andy, if you were a San Marino fan, how mad would you go then?
Yeah, I wouldn't be a San Marino fan.
It's a bit like being a bit like being Charlie. That's what it's like.
Yes, no, I know. I always admire people who do this. I couldn't do it. I mean,
you're a football snob and elitist, aren't you? Self-styled.
You have some feeling that you're going to win something, you know.
Okay.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Here we are. That was this afternoon's show. Tomorrow is all about the TalkSport Trophy, a very different sort of show. Live football featuring all the TalkSport presenters. Ollie Murr's going to be joining us as one of the managers as well. Neil Ruddock co-commentating. Do hope you can join us from one for the second of the TalkSport Trophies. We will catch up with you then.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.